Welcome to episode 2 of the Counter Propaganda Podcast. Current block height is 930,296, and you can currently buy 834 Satoshis, or sats for short, for one Canadian dollar. And for those who don't know, a sat is a small fraction of a Bitcoin. So just like there's 100 cents in a dollar, there's 100 million sats in a Bitcoin. I'm Caribou, and in this episode, I'm going to identify specific propaganda tactics used by government to deceive and manipulate people. And I think this is important because being armed with this information essentially levels the playing field. And the effectiveness of propaganda is largely based on the fact that people don't understand the techniques that are being used on them. So they can't detect them, they can't defend against them. And by understanding these techniques, they're actually quite simple, and you'll see them everywhere once you understand them. Once you understand the techniques, you can build an immune system that allows you to detect these propaganda techniques when you're faced with them, and to protect yourself to a large extent, I would say, from being manipulated. And just quickly, to those who are unfamiliar with the terms propaganda and counter-propaganda, propaganda is manipulative, biased, misleading, persuasive messaging done in service of an agenda. So it's a tool used to deceive people and promote a certain belief. And propaganda exaggerates, it omits, and it distorts facts to create emotional appeals that bypass rational thought. So it's very persuasive messaging used to kind of tug on these emotional levers that humans have built into their default software. And by doing so, it bypasses people thinking rationally about what's being said. That's propaganda. Counter-propaganda is strategic communication used to expose and neutralize hostile propaganda by revealing lies, discrediting deceptive messaging, and basically by offering an alternative, truthful narrative. So that is counter-propaganda. This counter-propaganda episode is sponsored by endinflationcanada.com. You can go there, check it out, share it, donate if you want to support it, and if you want to support the show. And if this podcast episode resonates, the most impactful thing that you can do is share it with someone who's ready to hear the truth. Let's dive in. So there's many tactics used in propaganda, and I'll probably record a tactics episode every couple weeks, 2-3 weeks, until I cover them all. So these will be probably in addition to the weekly Saturday episodes, but we'll see what kind of bandwidth I have, what kind of comments I'm getting, and what kind of feedback I'm getting. If people are liking it, zaps are flowing, comments are coming in, listeners are sort of, you know, there's enough listeners, then I'll record them more frequently. So in this tactics episode, I'm going to talk about three things. Number one, the illusory truth effect. Two, I'm going to unpack glittering generalities as a propaganda tactic. And three, I'm going to unpack fear used as a propaganda tactic. I'm going to do this all in 1 minute or less, and we're at 3 minutes, 25 seconds. So let's get busy. I just want to start by saying that under a corrupt political regime that's built on fraudulent currency, politicians have effectively become professional liars. Because if the currency that everything's built on is a lie, everything that gets done on top of that, which is everything, must support that lie, therefore must be a lie. That's a rabbit hole. That's a big thought to chew on. I encourage you to just sit with that for a minute. Maybe rewind back 30 seconds, listen to it again. So see what you think. So politicians have become these professional liars, and they wield their knowledge of psychology and propaganda to create and spread deceptive messaging that's designed to manipulate citizens into, one, believing the legitimacy of government, and two, manipulating citizens into adopting ideologies that allow the government to erode fundamental rights, to steal from the people, and to increase its control. Okay, so these propaganda tactics are used to manipulate people by leveraging their biases and vulnerabilities that they know are built into human psychology, right? These base default tendencies we have as humans in our software, in our embedded brain software. And if you know they exist and you know how to pull on them, you can manipulate people very easily by making emotional appeals. So my hope is to pull the drape back on these techniques so that you can see them for what they are, so that you can detect them when you face them and so that you can hopefully defend from them. And again, these tactics use human susceptibility to emotional appeal or to fear to manipulate narratives and eventually to control people's behavior. That is essentially how they do this. So, number one, the illusory truth effect. So Joseph Goebbels was the chief Nazi propagandist, and he is credited with saying, quote, "Repeat a lie enough times and it becomes truth," end quote. And I think that quote really illustrates the illusory truth effect, which is this phenomenon of telling a lie enough times and it essentially becomes truth. And that phenomenon is known as the illusory truth effect. And it's a common, it's a cognitive bias where repeated exposure to a statement, whether that statement is true or false, repeated exposure increases our beliefs in its validity because it makes it feel familiar and true, even if we initially know it to be false. Okay, so this, I'll kind of unpack that a little bit more. And this is one of the most powerful tactics used in propaganda as well as advertising. Edward Snowden also had a really good quote that describes this. And he said, "The whole system revolves around the idea that a majority can be made to believe anything so long as it is repeated loudly and often enough." So basically, you repeat something enough, it becomes truth. This is called the illusory truth effect, and it's a known human cognitive bias. Okay, so back to this thing. We have default software. We know this little thing is in there. We can overcome the bias, but we have to understand the bias to know that it's even a bias and to know what's worth fixing. So, Canada is one of the most propagandized countries in the world. And this is largely due to the corruption of media, I think. And I encourage everyone to do their own research and investigate this, inform your own opinions, and hopefully share your opinions so that we can get to truth. Because we get there by discussing opinions, sharing information, and usually we agree on way more than we disagree on. At least this is my experience. But I think it's important to be able to disagree in good faith to reach truth. Sorry for that side tangent. So, yeah, Canada is one of the most propagandized countries in the world. A big reason for that is corruption of media. So, if the government forms the media that dictates pe what people hear or don't hear, they effectively determine people's reality. And the incentives there eventually kill democracy. It's pretty absurd to even allow this to happen. And I think it only happens because most Canadians just are oblivious to the fact that the media they consume is government controlled and funded by their taxes. When the government can print money, this is the problem. This is why I always say fiat currency is an error code to democracy, because when the government can print money, they can buy the media and they can tell the media what to say. And they can tell that media to repeat lies as often as they want, which turns lies into truth for many people, according to the illusory truth effect. So just super quickly, I'm going to go through the mechanics of this just very briefly. If you don't want to geek out on this for maybe a minute and a half, just skip through this for the next like minute and a half. So, how does this work? The first principle is that familiarity breeds belief. So, our brains use shortcuts called heuristics to quickly process information. And repetition makes a statement easier to process. So, this basically leads your mind to tag it as probably true just because it's familiar. So that's sort of like principle one. Principle two is that initial knowledge doesn't even stop it. So even if you start knowing something is false, repeated exposure can actually override that initial knowledge, making it feel like it might be true or at least plausible because of how familiar it is. So these are, I mean, they're kind of creepy things when you really understand them, but it's so clever and so obvious once you know it. I think that's the benefit of understanding this. We can either it's dark, right? These deep techniques on how to manipulate people, but the reality is they're being used against you as a citizen at all times by the government. And you can at least defend yourself and spread truth by actually understanding what's going on through. Okay, so that was one, principle one, two. The third principle is, yeah, this notion that politicians, through propaganda, politicians exploit this default human bias by repeating simple, catchy, or emotional messages to build a sense of truth regardless of the facts. That is how this whole thing works. And so knowing all of that, the only way to protect from propaganda that leverages this tactic, frankly, is to avoid corrupt sources of information altogether. Avoid them. Don't even, you know, one of my parents says that she often watches the news to see what kind of nonsense they're up to, thinking she knows that it's all lies. But when I actually was researching the illusory truth effect, I'm realizing regardless of what she thinks she's watching, and if she thinks she thinks everything's a lie, just through this concept, she will slowly believe to believe, she will slowly believe that things that are lies could be plausible. So anyway, just avoid it altogether. And, you know, another thing to keep in mind for yourself in conversations that you have is to repeat truth more than lies. Even if you're bringing up a lie to expose it, make sure you begin with stating the truth and you end with stating the truth. I think his name is George Lakoff, is a cognitive linguist, and he talks about this. And he says that a way to correct any lie is by framing it with truth. So you start by mentioning the truth. You briefly mention the lie that others are spreading, and then you describe the correct information. So by putting truth first and last, it capitalizes on this cognitive capacity of people to remember beginnings and endings more than middles. So always repeat truth more than lies. Super valuable. So in essence, the more you hear a lie, the more your brain processes it as a known fact, which blurs the lines between fiction and reality. Beware of propaganda because it will slowly eat away at your mind, basically. Part two, glittering generalities. This will be quicker. This is also called glowing generalities. And if you've heard a politician speak ever in your life, you've no doubt heard this tactic in action. And it is a prime example of virtue signaling, which means publicly expressing opinions or sentiments to demonstrate one's good character or, you know, moral correctness, to appear virtuous, regardless of whether people actually support the belief or cause with their actions. So it's claiming to be a good person, regardless of whether you actually are or not, because all it is a claim. And so glittering generalities, you know, uses vague, emotionally appealing words that make people approve of something without actually examining the evidence. So when someone in politics says words like freedom, honor, democracy, patriotism, integrity, just beware, because it's often used in propaganda as a glittering generality. And the words sound good, but they lack specific meaning. So for example, saying that for the good of the country or for the common good, those both sound noble and good, but it doesn't actually define a specific action, and it makes us vulnerable to agreeing to something, but then the actual action being counter or totally different to what they were saying. And this tactic is used in advertising too, right? Glittering generalities. Ford built Ford tough. That's a great glittering generality. Very fancy, sounds great. It's just a sort of a catchy term though. Eat fresh by Subway or I'm loving it by McDonald's. Same examples. This is tactics that advertisers and political propagandists use because they just understand how psychology works. That's all marketing is understanding human psychology and how to sell things to people. And so all propaganda is the state trying to sell us a narrative. And because they have unlimited money that they can create, they can fund propaganda machines so well that it's no surprise that Canada is one of the most propagandized countries in the world. So the formula of a glittering generality is this. Say a vague abstract words with positive connotations that trigger good feelings in people or strong positive emotional associations, but lack any substance because they avoid any concrete facts, which makes them impossible to prove or disprove. And so politicians really just sputter emotionally appealing phrases to gaslight people is basically what this often ends up being. And it's all theatrics and lies. And they do this to avoid saying concrete things. So basically, they just puppet nonsense that sounds good to make oblivious people think that they're good people doing good things. And all the while, they are liars who are enriching themselves at the expense of the people that they claim to serve, fundamentally because the money that they're propagating, the money that they're pushing on people, is based on a fraud that steals, that exploits and controls people. It's really nasty. Again, glittering generalities are just vague words or phrases that are used to evoke positive emotions rather than convey actual information. And, it's all suggestive languages or suggestive language that uses virtuous words to evoke strong positive feelings. But it uses words that are so abstract that people agree without knowing what the words actually mean or how they're going to be achieved. And so there's zero concrete facts, only suggestive language designed to get acceptance without examination. And the intent, the whole intention of glittering generalities is to replace logic with suggestion based on emotional appeal. So empty words that sound good, it's fake theater and fiat politics. That's what it's devolved into under a fiat regime. And, they'll say things like, we're building a stronger, better Canada. But in reality, they're actually destroying the economy. Or we're supporting the middle class and reducing taxes. And you actually look at it and they're crushing the middle class and increasing taxes. So it's just these lies, but it all gets agreement from a lot of people because it sounds good. I got 5 minutes left, so I'm getting a fear because this is a big one. I'll condense it. I'll make sure I'm done before 21 minutes or approximately 21 minutes, give or take 30 seconds. Part three, fear. Fear is one of the most powerful and frequently used propaganda tactics used by politicians, hands down. Appeal to fear is a, you can look it up, look up appeal to fear. It's a persuasive tactic that manipulates people by creating anxiety or threats of danger to support an idea or an action rather than using actual evidence or reason. Here's how it works. Step one, manufacture a threat, right? Create, instill fear in people. Like, they might say societal collapse is going to happen if global temperatures rise, or everyone's going to die if they don't inject themselves and if they don't isolate themselves. Those are things that they might say as a manufactured threat, which we all, well, anyone who's doing the research knows that those were actual manufactured threats. And then it offers a solution. So it says, to avoid global temperature rise, we're going to put a carbon tax on and we're going to incentivize people to produce less carbon. I'm going to do a whole counter-propaganda episode about climate change because it's a hoax, it's a scam, and I'm going to expose it because it's just insane. They might offer a solution like vaccination or social isolation or whatever it is. So the threat is created for the purpose to have a specific solution adopted. And that solution usually involves an increase in government power, more taxes, or the erosion of freedom. Even though they might sell it, they might not actually tell you what the solution they have is. They're just going to give some vague solution, usually as a glittering generality, and it ends up being something quite different, right? So the classic propaganda playbook, again, one, create a false narrative about a perceived threat for your safety or the safety or stability of the country, for example. The fake threat of something like climate emergency, the fake threat of Trump's tariffs, the fake threat of a virus. So they create the fake threat, and two, they position the government as the savior from the threat and use fear to manipulate people into accepting a drastic action that almost always increases taxes, reduces individual freedoms, and increases government power, all in the name of safety and protection from the fake threat that they concocted. It's nasty, but that's the playbook. It's that simple. And the only thing that we really should fear as citizens is corrupt politicians removing our fundamental freedoms for good, so that we never have them, so that our children have no fundamental rights. Because if we allow them to be taken from us now, when freedoms are removed, they're very hard to get back. They just are. And so it's important that everyone understands how they're being manipulated so that everyone can actually weigh in, have their voice heard, take action, vote with where they store their time, and make sure that this generation isn't the last generation of Canadians that actually had freedoms and property rights. So it's important. Lots at stake here. So whether it's fear of the climate emergency, fear of the flu virus by labeling it something like COVID and saying it's deadly, or fear of some enemy that they've designed like Trump or like greedy companies, fear is their primary tool. That's how they get people. So watch out for it and recognize it. And again, lately, it seems like they love to continually repeat the lie that the world is dangerous and uncertain. And they do that because they know that if you scare people enough, the people will literally beg to be controlled and protected, even if it means forfeiting their rights and freedoms. So that is the nasty truth of what this playbook leads to. A system built on a lie must use more control and more lies to prevent itself from unraveling, to prevent the con game from ending by everyone losing confidence in it, losing confidence in the fraudulent currency. So we can put an end to it together. And we're at 20 minutes, so I'm going to wrap up. This is Counter Propaganda. Thank you for listening and sharing the show with people who are ready to hear the truth. That's the most important thing. Share this with someone who you think is ready to hear this. Avoid media that tells you lies. Beware of glittering generalities said by politicians. Be mindful of fear being used as a tactic to manipulate you. We all need to take responsibility for truth and be our own fact checkers. And I do my own research. I think critically. I form my own opinions. And I encourage everyone listening to this podcast to do the exact same thing. Do your own research. Don't trust. Verify things. Be your own fact checker. Take responsibility for truth because that's how we get out of this dark place. Wishing you all a great rest of your day. See you back here next week. Ciao.